Welcome to Ask the Pastors, a segment of the West Hills Podcast, where you have the opportunity to ask your questions and receive biblically grounded, pastorally sensitive answers from our pastoral staff. My name is Brian, I'm your host and one of the pastors on staff, and today I am only joined by Pastor Thad.
Only joined?
Only
it's
joined.
It's a good thing, though. We're happy to be here.
We are happy to be here. All that to say, Pastor Will is not here. So we're going to go really off script and say a bunch of heretical things.
Hopefully not.
But Pastor Will is in Florida, vacationing with his fam. Happy for him. Hope he's feeling rested on a beach somewhere. Today's question comes to us from an anonymous listener. Thank you, Anonymous. He writes, I've been told when we get to heaven, we will recognize each other. That we can take hope knowing that we will see our saved loved ones again. We also know that there is no suffering or brokenness or sadness. How can this be if we will not see all the people we have loved? Will we not notice some are missing? It's a bunch of questions in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. Any initial thoughts?
Yeah. One.
Will we recognize people in heaven?
Yeah. One, I appreciate just even the asking of the question, hearing the desire of the person of, you know, what will our response be when we get to heaven? What will it be like? Will we notice? So a couple things stand out to me. Just, you know, I've been told that when we get to heaven, will we recognize each other? And so there are a couple different verses we could look at. One, in the no, we won't be able to recognize each other, comes from Isaiah 65:17. It says, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, which seems to point towards the question of, well, will God simply erase our memory so that we won't remember the things that have happened? We won't remember not just our unsaved loved ones, but our loved ones as well. And that's one interpretation of it. I would say in the broader context of Isaiah 65, verse 16, the verse that comes before, it talks about the former trials, struggles that they're going through, that those won't be remembered, that perhaps instead in heaven we'll remember our lives on earth, but not be affected by those memories, thinking about where we will be, and that there is some comfort in there. I even think of in 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18, where the Apostle Paul, I'll read it quickly for us,
yeah.
The Apostle Paul, okay. Says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from God, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another in these words. And the Apostle Paul is writing this to bring a comfort to the Thessalonians. And it seems at odds that if our memory was going to be wiped, that there's no recognition, that Paul's not actually giving them an encouragement at all. And that doesn't bring a hope of being together with those loved ones who have gone on. They've passed. They are now with the Lord, that there is a hope and a comfort that we will be with them again someday. Brian, any?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just kind of naming. It seems like there's a bit of a tension between there's things that we won't remember and there's people that we will recognize, because there's a number of texts that talk about recognizing people. We'll see you in heaven. King David's child with Bathsheba, who dies, in 2 Samuel 12:23, for example, David says, but now he's dead. Why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Almost seems to be implying that they will see each other again in heaven and there will be recognition, which is really interesting there. And then we see it'll all make sense when we see in full, but right now we're seeing dimly.
And I even, you know, I think of Jesus's resurrected body when he appears before the disciples, that there's a recognition of him. So I imagine, like you said, we see in part that if they can recognize Jesus in his glorified body, that we too will be able to recognize at the very least Jesus. But other believers who are there, we read in Hebrews of the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us and they're listed by name. I imagine we will see and recognize Abraham and David and Moses. And some of this is we don't have a full revelation of what heaven will be like, what our knowledge will be. But we know that in heaven there is going to be an increase in knowledge, that we will see things in full, not partially clouded.
Which is hard to comprehend.
It is.
There's a lot of things that we don't understand.
It is.
And we won't until heaven.
And we won't. And so I think to go, before we get to that kind of tension point of what about our unsaved loved ones, is just a helpful clarification of heaven to help us think through, which also plays into the heaven is a place of no more suffering. But nothing on earth can be compared to the blessedness that we will experience in heaven, because in heaven we get to be with God face to face. Heaven is his dwelling place. It's where Jesus is now seated on his throne, reigning over all things. When Christians die, they go to be with the Lord in heaven, where they reign with him as they await the bodily resurrection. It's a place of everlasting joy, eternal bliss, and the presence of God. When Christians see God, they will be made perfectly holy. That's 1 John 3:2. And there will be no more sin, sadness, or suffering. So that's from Randy Alcorn in his book on heaven, which I would just, that is a very good resource when thinking about heaven. And so everything there will be perfect. We will worship him. Revelation 21 tells us heaven will come down to earth. Those who have trusted in Christ will live with him in the new creation. Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no longer be death. There will be no longer be sorrow and anguish and crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And so our listener then says, how can there be no more suffering, brokenness, or sadness? How can this be if we won't see the people that we've loved who aren't believers? And that's a really heavy thing to think about with, we're talking about eternal souls. And you know, another way to phrase that question, if our loved ones are in hell, doesn't that kind of spoil, taint heaven, our view of it, if those people who we love deeply here on earth are not with us? And in heaven, we'll see clearly that God revealed himself to each person, that he gave opportunity for the heart or the conscience to seek and respond to him. That's Romans 1 through chapter 2, 16. We see that everyone deserves hell, that no one deserves heaven. But yet Jesus went to the cross offering salvation and recognition, and even fuller recognition in heaven of God's absolute sovereign plan. And we know from 1 Timothy 2:3 that God doesn't desire any to perish, and yet many will perish because of their unbelief, Matthew 7:13. And so in heaven, we will be able to even more fully embrace God's holiness and his justice. And God will be our source of joy and comfort. And so some of it is a, we tend to make this comparison here now in what we in our limited understanding view as good, just, and fair. And so even when talking about God sending people to hell because of their sinfulness, we can be tempted to question God's goodness in sending people to hell. And yet there is a understanding that we all deserve hell, that that is all the punishment that we deserve. And it's only out of God's kindness and grace. And so some of that is when we are in heaven with God, we will have a better, more complete understanding of his holiness and justice. And that no amount of sorrow can, when we are with God, can compare to being in his presence.
Yeah.
And how wonderful and
joyful
that it will be to be with him, that there will not be anything that can even cast a shadow over the glory of being with God.
Yeah.
And so some of it is now in this moment that by faith we rest in his infinite goodness, compassion, and mercy, that we don't fully understand those things. Romans 11, 33 through 34 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become his counselor?" And so some of that is we can't even begin to fathom God's wisdom and knowledge about how he has worked in him. And so my short answer to the won't we be sad, sorrowful if loved ones who are unbelievers are not there with us in heaven? My short answer is no, because we will be in the presence of the God of the universe.
Yeah.
And nothing can eclipse his glory in being with him.
Yeah.
Now, I say that we also, that first part of Revelation 21:4 says, God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Some have indicated that this could be there is a wisdom revealed of those who have not, and God is wiping away those tears, or it is a wiping away of the tears of, there has been this suffering, sorrow, tribulation that you've experienced. Let me wipe away your tears because now you are with me in my presence. Or they're just tears of joyfulness, a weeping of joy, of finally being with God, which is really the longing of every believer.
Absolutely.
That we recognize that this world is not our home, and we see the brokenness around us, and it should cause us to long for heaven.
Yes.
Long to be in the presence of God and finally being there with him. A response should be, wow, this is so good and better than I could have ever even thought or imagined.
I think I've heard that once before, of like wiping away every tear. Perhaps there is a moment when we do notice that people are not there, like you said, and the Lord wipes away our tears. Like, it's interesting, there's three different interpretations of that part of Revelation 21:4, because it really does change maybe how we perceive heaven to be. And again, we don't know right now in full, so we're kind of left with obviously the scriptures and the Spirit to guide us into truth. We try our best, but one day we will know. Will we go into heaven weeping for those that are not there? I would say no. But who knows? Maybe God will reveal those things, and then sorrow, we will be free from sorrow forevermore.
And so I would even say some of that plays into our limited even understanding of love and in who we love here on earth. And the love for God should be so much greater than that. And not to diminish any of the question, but even Jesus pushes back on the idea of family within believers, that
Pretty jarring.
Very jarring. You know, he talks about hating father and mother, but yeah. When we become believers and the gospel takes a hold of our heart, we are now adopted into a new spiritual family, which brings about different relationships and responsibilities to those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would also, one aside is, if we have revealed knowledge of who is in heaven, I think there's going to be some surprise of people who are there, as well as if there's revealed knowledge of people who are not in heaven, a surprise of individuals who are not. And Jesus says there are many who will cry, "Lord, Lord," and I will say, "I never knew you," with that. And so I think a response to this anonymous listener is that right now, our focus should not be on how we can enjoy heaven or the eternal state with or without our loved ones. Rather, a focus now here in the present should be how can we continually, faithfully point our loved ones and those around us to Jesus, so that they can experience that same glory of the wiping away of tear, of no more suffering, no more sadness, no more sorrow, but to be in the presence of a holy God. That should be a motivating factor for us, that we desire an urgency. And I think this listener asking that question is feeling some of that. Either it's a loved one has passed away who they don't know about their eternal state. But if anything, we should be more urgent in proclaiming the goodness of God to our loved ones.
Absolutely.
That we should plead with them to see their sinfulness and their need of a Savior, and it be an encouragement to keep on doing that and resting in the Spirit's work in that individual's heart.
Yes, absolutely. This heaven will be amazing. And, you know, maybe there's somebody on your heart as you're listening of somebody you're burdened for who has not come to know the Lord. Should shape our prayer life. It should change the way we interact with others, with our understanding of heaven being so good, of God's peace being so good, that we want everyone that we know to experience that love and that peace. So continue praying, continue sharing, continue spreading the gospel. And thanks for this question. It's a heavy one, but an important one to think about for sure. And that's it for this week's episode of Ask the Pastors. Remember that you can submit your questions by visiting the info bar at West Hills or by asking them online through our website at www.westhillsstl.org. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, hit that like button, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next week.